We have a title this morning. It's still an extension of last Sunday morning's message, but we're going to call this one Bearing Fruit in the Home for the Ripple Effect. So we still have a burden in that direction. And last Sunday, we were thinking of the epicenter being the home and addressing the ripple effect. And we may have spoken to the men as a major part of our burden last Sunday, and to the fathers and the husbands, and to receive some counsel. It's not very often we have messages concerning family life, but in reality, for us to have the ripple effect in our life, it all starts in our home, in our relationships with our family. If we are not able to please the Lord in our relationships with our family, how can we please the Lord to be an example out there in the world, or to others, or even to our extended family? So we did address a few points that had to do with the women, may address a little bit more of those this morning. One thing I want to emphasize, because I think it's very vital that we hear it over and over, that we grasp hold of some of these things and apply them in our life. And that is, I've named it several times of late, about having a closet experience with the Lord. And I've also named out eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and they go together. A closet experience with God is learning more about him and applying it into our life. And he is ministering to us and opening our minds, opening us in order to recognize where we can draw closer to the Lord. We can be more effective for him. So those have been some of the burdens of the last few messages, and I'm still feeling that same burden. But this morning I felt like that I needed to back up a little bit. I implied so much responsibility on the man last Sunday in the home, and being the epicenter of the ripple effect, being the home, I think that I need to step a step back. And I'm going to give you the scripture of 1 Corinthians 11 and 3. And it says, I would have you know the head of every man is Christ. So that's where we need to back up just a little bit. A man cannot be a godly man or a godly husband or a godly father without Christ. But it goes on and it says, and the head of every woman is the man. And all that just places so much responsibility on the man. In reality, when you look and read about Adam and Eve, it was the woman that caused him to fall. But when God came to walk with them in the garden, who did God call? Did he call the woman? He called for Adam. And it's what we need to feel the grave responsibilities as godly men, as godly fathers, as godly husbands, that we feel the weight and the burden for our family spiritually. I don't know exactly how God is going to judge all of this, but I see God as placing with man a strength and a responsibility that he will have to give an account for his family. I'm not saying that when your children grow up and they go out and they make their own decisions, that's not saying you're going to have to answer for them, but what you did with them while they were in under your roof and in your responsibility, in your care, God wants us to all feel a grave responsibility for their souls. So it goes on and it says that not only is the man the head of the woman, but the head of Christ is God. I believe that we need to look now this morning as Christ being the center of our homes and our families, and that it is really the foundation is on Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. So there is a scripture that also speaks about Christ looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So that's who we need to look to this morning as we approach God and carry the... I believe with all my heart we all have a burden for our families. And you know, it doesn't matter if your family grows up and goes out and have families of their own. You will always carry a burden for your own family. And I've often said to the congregation here, no one is going to pray for your children like you do. Because you carry the burden greater than anybody else. We can all help one another and be in agreement of prayer and pray for each other's families. But when it comes down to the bottom line, it's the parents, it's that father, it's the mother that's going to pray for the children like no one else. So we want to always remember that. So looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of faith. But I believe we could add some other words in there and not take away from the meaning of the scripture. He's the author and the finisher of my joy. He's the author and the finisher of my peace and contentment and wisdom. And you could just keep adding that other adjectives in there. And he is the author. He's the finisher of whatever you're needing in your life. You can go to him. He can finish it. He can polish it. He can cause it to be a greater measure of those things in our lives. Thank the Lord. So the title, I'm going to repeat it, is Bearing Fruit for the Ripple Effect. I want to begin with a scripture in John 15, and I'm going to look at verse 5, and then 1, and 2, and 4, and 16, and 11. So I've sort of shifted it around a little bit, taking parts of these verses to bring out the thought that we have. And it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. I believe we even had some of that in the Sunday school this morning. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So we're thinking this morning about bearing fruit in our homes. Before we can go out and express our fruit or feed others or be a blessing to others, we need to have this fruit in our lives, in our homes. And then it says, for without me ye can do nothing. Back to verse 1, I am the true vine. Verse 2, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth or he pruneth. If he just left us alone and he just let us go through life and have our own way and act however we wanted to and treat our family however we wanted to and have live like a double life. I'm real pleasant to the people I work with. I I never raise my voice. I never show anger. I never demonstrate anything that is of a negative nature out there. If he did that, if he left you and I alone, we would not win our families. We would not gain their confidence. But he wants to prune us. He wants to take that pruning shears. You know, you can apply this thought to agriculture or to fruit-bearing trees or even rose bushes. Did you know that if you left a rose bush alone and just let it grow however it wanted, it would eventually be producing a very inferior rose? But every year, there's a certain time of the year that we go out and we cut it back, and it has new growth and it has healthy growth, and it produces some of the most beautiful roses that way. That's what God's wanting to do in our lives. He says, if you bear some fruit, expect to be purged a little bit. Expect a pruning to come into your life. It will benefit you, and it will benefit your family, and it will benefit the church, and it will benefit the people out there. You'll be able to be a greater example. We spoke last week, you know, about going out and being a light in the world and being a city that is set on a hill. You can't shine forth without this process. And he's saying, if you bear fruit, this is what I'm going to do for you. So expect it and yield yourself unto it to allow him to purge you, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. I know we used to have fruit trees. We had about 40 fruit trees. And it took a lot of work to keep the orchard producing, because you had to cut off the dead part. You had to prune it back that it grew just in a way that it produced more fruit. That's what God is trying to do for each one of us. He wants us to produce the maximum fruit. Don't you know he wants us to be a maximum, a saint of God, or a maximum husband or father or mother? He wants us to really allow the work of Christ be producing in our homes. Oh, this is really the first and foremost place that we need to learn the purging of the Lord. So he says here, every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. And the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. We know that, don't we? If we went out into an orchard and we saw a whole limb that had broken off, that limb is not going to start bearing fruit next year. It's going to have to be taken, and the scripture says this. It's taken and it's burned. It's detached from the vine or from the trunk. And so you and I cannot bear the fruit, because if we're not attached to the vine, so we must be attached to this vine. And then he says in verse 16, I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should bring forth fruit, and that the fruit remain. It be fruit that is perfect fruit. It's fruit that can feed others, can minister to others. And then we go to verse 11. And these things have I spoken unto you, that ye may find joy, and your joy will remain, and your joy might be full. Thank the Lord. Do you want joy this morning in your life and in your family and with your wife and with your children? And it's a wonderful thing. God has ordained marriage, and he's ordained husbands and wives, and then he has ordained us to have children and enjoy those children. They're a blessing to us. And we want to be a blessing to them, don't we? So the secret of a fruitful life is, as we have read, and it's abiding in him and he abiding in me. There's a scripture in Hosea 14 and verse 8, and it's just the last sentence of that verse, and it says, "From me is thy fruit found." So we know that we can't just turn over a new leaf and say, "Well, I'm going to go and I'm going to start doing this." We have to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I want to find my fruit in you," because that's the only place it will be. I'll have to be attached to him. I'll have to be that branch that is attached to the vine. So as we have emphasized that Christ will be our foundation, and I'm thinking also about young people that are starting out their lives together, and I'm thinking about having the children, and then there's the middle age homes that the children are maturing and they haven't left home, but yet they're still under our roof, you might say. And then I'm thinking about those that are empty nesters, and all of their children are grown and have families of their own, and it's going onward. And I'm thinking then about those of us that are alone. And we have a still place to influence our families. So it doesn't matter which stage we're in, where we can learn. We can still learn to have that blessing in our home, that I be able to bear fruit for others out there. And then when we come down to the later years of our life and we find ourselves alone somewhat, there are people that are also without their families due to separation. But God still wants to work even when we are without our companions. Whether it's in the state of being alone because of death or alone because of separation, God is still saying, "You have a place, and I want my fruit to bear through you, reaching out to your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren." There's no place for us to say, "Well, we've done it all. It's all over. I'm through. I've done my work." No, my work doesn't end until my life ends. And God wants to shine forth no matter which stage that I have named here, middle age or young or old. He's saying, "I want to shine in your life to your family." Oh, then we can come to church. We can shine at church. We can shine on the job. We can shine wherever we are. But God's calling for that intimate relationship with him, where I am connected to him and he is connected to me. And then we can shine in the whole world. You know what the commandment is. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. Is that for the preachers? No, that's for every one of us. And we're not going to go out into all of the world, but our world, where we are, where we live, where I have contact with people. When I go to Walmart, I want to have a light that is shining at Walmart. You know, yesterday, this is probably the first time I've ever heard this, but I was checking out at Walmart, and the cashier that was next to me was talking to another employee that was there. And I wasn't really paying attention to what they were saying. But all of a sudden, she said, the woman said, well, I'm really not religious. And I thought, my. And as I went home, I said, Lord, I need to pray for that one. They're not even thinking of the spiritual thing. They were talking about, as I paid attention, they were talking about what's happening over there in the Ukraine. And she was just disregarding it and saying, well, I'm not religious. I don't really care how that happens. I want to tell you, God is calling for us to be spiritually sound and an example in word and deed. You know, the scripture also told us not to love in only word. It's easy for me to go out and say, oh, I love you so much. Maybe I can even say it to my family. Oh, I love you. But the deed isn't there. The deeds will speak louder than our words. So God is calling for our deeds to shine forth and say, I love you. And you know what the scripture says. You know that it says, now abideth faith and hope, charity. But the greatest of this is charity. I may have lots of hope. I may even have great faith. But without the love behind it, what good is it? The scripture says it's good for nothing. So let us abide in his love. And allow his love to permeate and fill our lives. And let that be the part that is bearing fruit in our family. So we, I'd like for us to now think a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm not going to turn and read there. Because as I looked at it, I saw that it was broken down into three categories. And it starts out, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And I looked at that and I said, you know, that's what affects me personally. If I have love, if I have joy, if I have peace, I'm happy. If I am able to express those love, joy, peace, what does the word say about peace? That he wants to grant unto us the peace of God that passeth understanding. How many of us need peace? We all need the peace of God. We go through places that our peace is troubled and our joy may not be as full. Remember, he said he wanted his joy to remain full for you and me. And but as I looked at that, I said, now, love and joy and peace are things that I have to pursue. It's not going to just fall on me. It's going to be something I seek after. And the scripture tells me about seeking. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what will be added then? Everything. Everything you need will be added, thank the Lord. So I'm going to have to seek for a love. Do you have to seek for a love for your family? You might say, well, no. It comes natural. It does. But you have to let it grow. It has to grow for your family, for your children, for your husband, for your wife. You have to seek for it to grow. You can't just stand up at the altar and take your vows and walk away and that's the end of it. You're going to have to work on it, both of you. And there will be times you won't feel love. But you can cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, put your love in my heart for my wife or for my husband or for this child that is a trial to me. God will abundantly give to us. He says if you lack wisdom, you just have to come to him and he'll not upbraid you because you lack something. So don't think that just because you're not feeling the fiery love, you can still come to him. He will abundantly give it. And I want to tell you an experience. I probably have told this a long time ago, maybe. But in our marriage, many years ago, and I wasn't saved at the time, nor was he, but I just felt like that my love died for him. So if that thought ever comes to your mind, remember, it's a lie. I was not even saved. And God spoke it to me. I have to say it was God. It certainly wasn't the devil. But God spoke to me and said, you tell him you love him many times a day. And I obeyed it. I didn't feel it. But as I had opportunity, I told him I loved him. And you know, I had lost it. It was still there. But a lot of people out in the world, they get to thinking, oh, my love has died. I don't want to be married anymore. And they'll believe that and they'll pursue and maybe end up with several companions over and over, like the woman at the well. Because they think something has died. You can cultivate it to come back alive. Yes. And I knew it was the Lord that said it to me, even though I wasn't saved. So the next fruits of the Spirit is long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and kindness. Is that what you need? That you need it, but it's also what you need to give. We need to be long-suffering with each other. Yes. We need, there's just going to come those times in your marriage that you may have a misunderstanding or a disagreement, but don't let it tear you up and tear apart. Be long-suffering. Bear long with each other. And then it says to show gentleness. You want somebody to be gentle with you. You be gentle with them. Gentleness and goodness. Be good. Be good in the place God has placed you. If you're the wife, be good. And you don't feel like being good, go to your closet. Go eat some of his flesh and drink some of his blood. And he'll restore. Damon had a song this morning. Damon, what was that part about he would restore? I know David said at different times, he said, renew a right spirit within me. So when we begin to slip from these places, you can go to your closet. And God can restore and renew and revive and revisit, and he can renew that place of when you need to be good. Good to one another. When you need to be kind. You know, kindness doesn't cost you anything. You want people to be kind to you, be kind to them. But it starts in the home. Don't, you remember what I told you last Sunday about witnessing it myself? A man that spoke so harshly to his wife and his children, and the telephone ring. And he goes over and has the most pleasant voice. He answered it not in the tone he was talking to his dear family, and nobody on the end of the line would have known he had just talked to his family in an ugly way. That's not being kind. Be kind to your children. Be kind to your grandchildren. Be kind to your husband and to your wife. Be kind and gentle and long-suffering. And I wrote down here that it's a fruit that has a result. There is, when I am doing that, it's like the scripture that says, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Well, I've always thought, I thought that it was to turn away their wrath. But the Lord spoke it to me one day and said, no, that's to turn away your wrath. Keep your voice soft. We don't have to have harsh sounding tones and, you know, just the very tone of my voice. What I'm saying might not be real bad, but the very tone will speak what I'm meaning. And another thing, the look on your face, the way that you appear, the way that you react. You know, our face also speaks a lot. It tells a lot about what we're thinking. I have been one that my face told more than I wanted it to tell. Here in the congregation, it did. But you know, in that thing that was such a trial to me and it just showed all over my face, when I got the victory, they knew that too. The congregation knew when I had the victory. Your family will know too. And it will produce this joy and this peace. And then you can go out. It'll be that ripple. You can go out to others and be an example and a light. And then the last ones of that fruit is faith and meekness and temperance. Do you see how these are sort of in the same category? The fruit producing faith is something that, remember the message that we preached a while back on a measure of faith and a measure of hope? You got to have something somewhere, a beginning point to build on for it to grow. And that's what God is calling for in our lives, is to have a measure of faith that will develop and mature and grow. You will pass through parts of your life that God is, He treats you like a child, because you are a child. You're just growing in the things of God. I know what I'm talking about, because I can look back over my walk with the Lord, and He was so precious and near, and I heard His voice so plainly. And as time went on, it's not that God leaves us, but He allows us to be tested that we don't just hear that voice readily. What are you going to do then? You're going to back up on the Lord? You're going to give up God? Well, I don't hear His voice. I don't feel His presence. No, we allow our faith to grow. He said this. He said that. I stand on it by faith. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm going to stand there. If I don't hear His still small voice, I'm going to still believe He's hearing my voice. When I pray, do you pray and say, Lord, I know You hear me? Oh, we must have a faith that we know God is hearing us even when we don't hear Him. So we have a meekness. What is meekness? We're learning to humble ourselves. You and I have to learn humility, and God allows things to come into our life that we learn how to humble ourselves. And then temperance. In the little song that the children sang, they called it self-control. God's calling for us to grow in the things of God, that when something happens that normally pushes my button and makes a reaction, that I can have control by the Spirit, by the strength of the Spirit. So these are fruits. I called these mature fruits, developing and growing fruits, and it all comes under the heading of spiritual growth. So now I would like to move on to some more counsel of our families. And again, I want to start with the brethren. And I certainly don't want you to feel like you're picked on, but I know what I said last Sunday and what I still feel today is that God is calling for our men to be strong, godly men in the earth. And we have so few in the earth that if our families have a strong, godly husband or father, they're blessed. It's a rich blessing that has a ripple effect in the home. It'll go out. So I wrote down here, as it was given to me this morning, it's ordained of God for our men to be strong and able to bear pressures of the world. Why do I say that? What does the word say about that? Well, it goes back to the beginning. When Adam and Eve fell and there were curses that were placed upon them because of the fall and they were cast out of the garden, it said for the man that the man would have to work by the sweat of his brow from then on. But you know, God put it in a man to be a provider. And a man that is seeking God and God is working in their life, he should be able to go out there on a job and be saved. And be a strong man of God and shine forth on his job. And it's just to me, it's a beautiful picture to see our men. And I don't look around here. I don't see one man that doesn't go out and take care of his family and provide for them. So that's commendable. The scripture has something to say about men that don't do that. The scripture says that a man that does not provide for his family he's lost the faith. And that he's also worse than an infidel. Well, I don't see anybody here like that. But you know, out in the world, there's many men that are failing to live up to what God is calling for them to be. To their families. Our world is plagued with this. Well, it's a plague. Children are suffering because a man does not provide for his own house. And that's the call of God, is for a man to provide for his own house. So I believe God has made it His responsibility to give our men the power to go out and face the pressures of the world. I believe that. So I believe that God is giving a grace to overcome something that would make you otherwise. Pressures, stresses. Do you face any pressures or stresses? You know our men face pressures and stresses in life on the job. You know that. It also is, what about facing setbacks? What about something coming into your family that has set you back financially? Are you the one that caves in? No. Our men are to be strong and say, we'll get through this. Give the assurance to the wife. This isn't the end of the world. So our men, God's calling for you to face these things with courage. I find this very encouraging, don't you? I think it's commendable that God is sending these words for our men to be encouraged, that you can go out provide for your house. Passing, and another thing that is such a blessing in a family, if a father is a godly father, he can pass it on to his sons. Son, you're going to grow up someday and you're going to look for a wife and you're going to have a family, and this is how you will do it. And oh, let us pass on to our children the godliness and the power that he's given to us. Encourage our little boys. You're going to be a man someday, and God's calling for you to fill a place in the earth. Oh, thank the Lord. You can do that. So I wrote down that strong men of God, they provide and support. So I'm going to change a little direction now, but it applies to the woman and the wife and the mother also. But I want us to not feel that, well, I've provided a roof over their head, I've provided them a warm place to live, and they have food on the table, they have clothes, and so I've provided. But it should not stop there. It should go beyond earthly, material things that I'm providing. Let's provide an atmosphere in our home that is emotionally strong. We're living in a world where so many people are down under depression and the effects of life, and the fact that suicide is on the increase, especially among young people. But let's look at our children and say, give them the courage. You know, provide an atmosphere that is charged with healthy emotions. Look for your children when you see that they're down. Observe it. And seek the God. Go to your closet again and say, Lord, what can I do to help my child in this hard place they're going through? God has the answers. He'll give them to you. Thank the Lord. So that's not just for the man, but I want to tell you, your children are looking up to you, men. They should be. They should be, you know, the wife has a lot to do with this. When it's time for dad to come home, when they're little, you start getting them excited. Hey, daddy's coming home pretty soon. Now, I've got some counsel about that also. And I just gave it to somebody in the last week. When it's time for dad to come home, you be that keeper at home. Oh, it's all right for children to play and have their toys all strung out. It's just normal. You want them to have a haven in their home, your children. You want them to enjoy their space. But when it's time for dad to come home, I'm going to suggest gather them up and say, okay, let's start picking up these toys now. Let's make this a real pretty place for daddy. Oh, it's not that I did that every time, but I want to tell you, it works. If our houses, if our homes are in order, why would I say that? Well, the word says, let everything be done decently. Can I apply that? And in order? You know, we as women, we're providing havens for our husbands to come home to. A place that they don't feel cramped. Oh, this is such a mess. And yet, there's times it's going to be a mess. But overall, teach those children it's exciting for daddy to come home. We love daddy. Oh, those children will just, they'll start showing it pretty early too. But that's what the Lord is desiring for our homes to be happy and that we can love one another and we can be kind. Oh, thank the Lord He has a way for helping us. But anyway, there's a... we're not going to focus too much on the failures of men out there. Let's just focus on what we're doing here today to visit our fathers. Oh, by the way, you know, fathers, well, and mothers too, what the scripture says about the fatherless, it says for us to visit the fatherless. Well, that doesn't mean you're just going to go have a visit with them. You're doing something for fatherless children. Don't you know how empty and what a vacancy is in their lives? You need to also teach your children to be considerate of fatherless children. Not that you're wanting them to sympathize, but to be kind. There's places that God is just needing each one of us to fill for those that aren't filled up. Fatherless children, let me tell you what happens to fatherless children. They will reach an age that they realize there's something missing in my life. Can you fill the place of a father? No. But you can help fill that vacancy to diminish the adverse effect of a fatherless home. Okay? So I'm just going to throw that out there. And Lord help me, the time's getting away. Okay, so now... better see what I can sort of cut here. Okay. I'm going to talk to us women. And it's very important for men to hear what is said about women. It's important for the women to hear what's said about men. We know what to expect. We know what God is calling for us to do. So the same call is for the woman as it is the man. To be spiritually strong. To feel that great need to be in my closet too. For me to feel the great need that I have the Spirit of God abiding in me and I'm abiding in the Spirit. I'm also a branch. You may be two people and you may be counted as one, but you each one have to be abiding. You each one have to be attached to the vine for yourself. So for the woman... I wrote it like this. God is calling for you to bear delicious fruit. I believe the woman's fruit can be delicious. It can taste a little differently. She has the ability to produce something that has a flavor that is so attractive. If she is following and learning, and what is she learning? She's learning to serve. We are servants. God was, He said that His Son was a servant. And we are no less. You brethren are servants of God in the home. Us women, we are servants. Who do you serve? You serve your husband. When you got married, You knew what the word said. It said that you were to be his help meet. Did you know our men, it may not sound real good because I've been building you up, but you know you men are really dependent. You're dependent on your wife. She has a place to fill that nobody else can fill. She is to be your helpmeet. She is to assist you in your life's work. She's to assist you to be the godly father. She is to be a support. And it works. It works. Oh, listen, I'm running completely out of time. Sisters, show honor to your companion. Show them respect. It doesn't cost a whole lot. It just costs you. But you show that love and respect and honor. It's according to the word. I'm not turning and reading it for the sake of time, but that's... Oh, but I don't like to be submissive. Here's how you do it. You submit to your husband as unto the Lord. You look at him and you say, God, I'm submitting to him because you said it. God can't. Remember what I said last Sunday? That if you men loved your wife as Christ loved the church, she will eat out of your hand. It will be so easy for her to be submissive if you love her like Christ loved the church. Okay, we're going to have to skip on down. I don't want to emphasize too much how weak us women are, but we are. We're called the weaker vessel. Don't play the part of the man. Quit you like men, be strong. You're to be strong, but don't take the place of the man. You allow that man to have his responsibility in the home. But you can draw him. You can cultivate something that man can't resist. And he will love you. On the other hand, a woman has a strength that a man does not have. She has a different makeup, personality, characteristics, and God created her that way. And she can bear some things that you men can't. It's really the truth. Okay, let's turn to Titus now. I've done a lot of talking. It's all based on the Word of God, but we're going to turn to Titus in closing and read from the second chapter, and it's going to speak to all of us. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. I believe everything we have said this morning is sound and will work. I believe God is wanting to challenge us as men and women, husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, grandmothers, whatever we are, he's challenging us. Be the best you can be. So it's sound. That the aged men be sober and grave. This word grave means reverent. You know, we all need to be reverent to the Word of God and to God Himself. If He said it, believe He means it. And receive it. So the aged men be sober and grave and temperate, sound in faith, in love or charity, in patience. And we all need that, don't we? We all need a good dose of patience with one another. And with our children, we need to exercise. And don't be afraid to go into your closet and say, Lord, give me more patience. So many people are afraid to ask for it. They say, oh, I'll be tried. Accept the trying and allow it to work to strengthen your patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Holiness is so important. I believe it's something we grow in. We've got a measure of holiness because we're given understanding. But as we mature and grow in the Lord, we should be growing in holiness. We should be growing in understanding of what is holiness. Holiness covers more than just a spirit or my spirit. It covers how I judge things, how I look on things, how I see something, if it's exceedingly sinful or not. It also helps me that I will seek God to know how to clothe my body in a modest fashion. Oh, nobody likes to hear of modesty much anymore. God's calling for us to clothe our bodies. Cover our bodies, men and women. So it's holiness unto the Lord, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Well, I wouldn't want to say don't take any wine. That would be my counsel. Don't even ever get started with it. It's a different time back here, you know. And even though it's in there, I read it. But I'm going to say, stay away from it completely. Don't ever even develop a taste for it. It'll hook you. So then it says, and not much wine, teachers of good things. Oh, there's so many good things we could maybe help our families to have happier homes. That they may teach the young women, and that's what I'm trying to do here this morning. I'm wanting to teach us young women. Here's what we're teaching you. Be sober. That doesn't mean you can't go around and laugh. It's be serious about your spiritual life. Be sober and serious about the choices that you make and even your conduct. Even, let me back up a little bit in correcting the children. The mother is going to probably be the one that corrects the children a little more than the father. And we can sometimes do it in anger because we've been so upset about whatever it was they did. Walk away from it until you're no longer angry. I gave this scripture last week concerning the fathers, said, provoke them not to wrath. And then I told about the scripture that the Lord gave me. Provoke to love and good works. There's a way, and the Lord spoke it to me. You know how to provoke them to anger. Learn how to provoke them to love and good works. And I needed it. So it says, the aged women teach them that they be in behavior as become, oh wait, verse 4. Teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. Because you're not always lovable. There's days we don't quite feel that way. And it says, the counsel is, love them anyway. And to love the children when they aren't lovable. And to be discreet and chaste and keepers at home. This is an unpopular teaching for the mother to be at home and be a keeper at home. But it's here. I didn't make it up. But it goes back to providing that haven when the Father comes in. Keep the house looking as beautiful as you can. That's how God called for us women to fill that place in a home. Be keepers at home. Be good. Be good and obedient to your own husband. So if he says something and wants you to do something, and I'm not going to put any what it means, but you don't really feel like doing it, do it anyway. And say, Lord, I'm doing this unto you. Obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, oh, we don't have very many young men here this morning. And it grieves my heart. I want more young people so badly. Young men, likewise, exhort, be sober-minded, be serious, and in all things, shewing thyself a pattern of good works in doctrine, shewing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. That's the end of our little message, and I guess I'm going to have to apologize for taking so long. But oh, how I trust that the Spirit of the Lord will take some of this and let it find lodging in your hearts and in your minds. Just be reminded. This is, we sort of forget that the epicenter of the ripple effect is in the home. And it's got to start there if I hope to ever be a help to anyone out in the world. It's got to start in my home. Pray for me.